Hello. Hi, everyone. And happy Wednesday evening. So, yeah, I'm here to continue reading from I Am That. And I am still at on the first message, which is called The Sense of I Am, but we're at the last part of that first message, so we should finish that tonight. So the question from the questioner is this: the sense of being an experiencer, the sense of I am, is it not also an experience? And Nisargadatta Maharaj says, obviously, everything experienced is an experience. And in every experience, there arises the experiencer of it. Memory creates the illusion of continuity. In reality, each person, or each experience, sorry, in reality, each experience has its own experiencer. And the sense of identity is due to the common factor at the root of all experiencer-experience relations. Identity and continuity are not the same. Just as each flower has its own color, but all colors are caused by the same light, so do many experiences appear in the undivided and indivisible awareness, each separate in memory, identical in essence. The essence is the root, the foundation, the timeless and spaceless possibility of all experience. And so I know last week I talked about the experience that I had while I was at the self-inquiry intensive. But this paragraph also reminds me of that, so I will be talking about that again. Even the question remind me of that. I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was like this long pause after the question because I was recalling my experience from the self-inquiry retreat. And I was even wondering if someone who hadn't had that kind of experience could really understand the question. I think I would have understood the question before. I don't know if I knew I didn't understand the question. I may have thought I understood it, but I don't think I did. Here's the question: the sense of being an experiencer, the sense of I am, is it not also an experience? That's really a very good question. I mean, this questioner must have spent some time looking. So what happened for me at the self-inquiry retreat? And I have not experienced it since I've been back home. What happened for me at the self-inquiry retreat is that I shifted into what I'm just going to call another position or another another place that I was seeing from. And this place was behind the observer. It was behind the sense of I am. In fact, I don't remember who my partners were at the time. There were a couple of partners that were there when I tried to talk about this. And at some point, I actually think I quit talking about it because there was just this feeling that that I couldn't communicate what I was experiencing, so I quit trying. But what I could see in front of me, sort of, Again, it's very hard to say with words, but what I could see in front of me was the I am presence. I had drifted behind the I am presence. And this was the first time this had ever occurred. And with me, there was no sense of I am, none. No sense of I am at all. The I am presence was an object. It was an experience, like this guy is saying. It was an experience. And I could see that object just like I could see any other objects, like I could see the mind, like I could see the sensations in the body. If I opened my eyes, like I could see anything that my eyes would see, you know, the partner sitting across from me, I could see the I am presence. But I no longer had that sense. I didn't have that sense. And, you know, I had great difficulty describing my position. You know, I think I use the word nothing most often to describe me, or openness to describe me. And I would look within myself to see if I could find a me or a sense of I am, and I could not. So, again, if you listen to this questioner seems to know this, at least intellectually, at least had heard it somewhere before. Because the questioner is saying the sense of being an experiencer, the sense of I am, is it not also an experience? And it is, it's an experience, it's not the truth. It's an object. It's something that we experience from within it. We experience the sense of I am from within that position. But when we shift back to that position, we no longer experience that. No sense of I am. So again, Nisargadatta Maharaj answers, obviously, everything experienced is an experience, right? So he's agreeing with the questioner that I am is an experience. He says, and in every experience there arises the experiencer of it. And that experiencer would be the sense of I am. Memory creates the illusion of continuity. In reality, each experience has its own experiencer. And the sense of identity is due to the common factor at the root of all experiencer-experience relations. Now, I understand what he is saying, but I can't say that I had this clarity. So I won't claim that. I will just share what he is saying. Again, I could see the sense of I am kind of in front of me like an object, and I had no sense of I am. But yet, without a sense of I am, I still was, right? There was still this nothingness without a sense of I am, that was aware of the sense of I am and anything else that I was aware of, any thought, any sounds, whatever. So there was this awareness that was aware without a sense of I am. That awareness is the continuity. That awareness is the true I, even though that awareness never says I, the mind says I. That awareness is the true I. That is the continuity. That is what is always, always here. So what he is saying is that experiences, now this is the part I don't have my own direct clarity on. He's saying experiences have to have an experiencer, and that experiencer is the sense of I am. the sense of I exist. But what he's saying is that there isn't a continuous experiencer. There isn't a continuous sense of I am. What he is saying is that the sense of I am is, you could say, reborn in every moment. And what gives us the impression that the I am is continuous, or even that the Regina personality, which is in front of the I am, even that the Regina personality is continuous, is two things. One is memory, but the other is the true I. The continuity that is here. The continuity that is here is like a light that is constantly shining. And the things that come and go dance into the light and out of the light and into the light and out of the light, but the light is always on. And that light shines onto the I am presence that is being reborn in every moment. It also shines onto the personality mind that is being reborn every moment. And because the light of awareness is continuous, it gives the impression that the I am and the personality are continuous when they're not. I have had a different direct experience that's very closely related to this, so let me just tell you about that direct experience. It happened many years ago. I had the experience of what I call the Big Bang. I experienced the Big Bang. But what I experienced is that the Big Bang is not something that happened once upon a time billions of years ago. The Big Bang is constantly happening. You know, like, I don't know how many times, I'll say 2,500 times a second. You know, just like a cartoon, if you look at a cartoon is a bunch of different drawings. But when they run through, you know, the old film projectors, I don't know how they do it nowadays, but when they run through the old film projectors really fast, it gives the appearance of continuity and the appearance of movement. But it's actually several different pictures, completely separate from one another. Well, the Big Bang constantly happening like that is actually creating, is actually making a different world, a completely different world, and all the bodies in the world, and all the personalities in the world, and all the minds in the world. And I guess also this sense of I am, it's completely new every time there's a Big Bang. You know, again, imaginary, I don't know the right number, but 2,500 times per second. And what gives it the sense of continuity is memory, because we can remember the last instant, right? Memory, plus, what he's saying is plus, the true self, the awareness which is constant, the light which is shining on it, and that, you know, we are aware of, you know, not at the mental level, but we are aware of our constancy. And so we take that awareness of our constancy and we project it onto I am, and we think this I am is the same I am that was here a moment ago. But we project it onto the personality, and we think this personality is the same personality that was here a moment ago, when actually they are being recreated. The only thing that is constant, the only thing that doesn't come and go, is the true self. So memory creates the illusion of continuity. In reality, each experience has its own experiencer. See, there's a new I am presence in every nano moment. In reality, each experience has its own experiencer. And the sense of identity, the idea that I am that I am, or I am that personality, the sense of identity is due to the common factor at the root of all experiencer-experience relations. And again, that common factor is the true I, the true self, the awareness that is constant. That's the common factor. That's what's there in every one of these projected worlds. You know, think about 2,500 different worlds per second. But the common factor is the true I, the true self, the awareness. That's not being recreated like everything else is. Identity and continuity are not the same. Just as each flower has its own color, but all colors are caused by the same light, so do many experiences appear in the undivided and indivisible awareness. Each separate in memory, identical in essence. The essence is the root, the foundation, the timeless and spaceless possibility of all experience. And I remember one partner that I had, in fact, you know, she seems to be here right now, at least her name is in the room. But one partner that I had, you know, I was trying to express myself and having great trouble finding words, and she found the words. She was talking from her perspective in that moment, but I was like, those are the words. And I repeated her words. It was the only time I copied someone. And she said, let me see if I can remember her exact words now, they were perfect. She said something like, I am the possibility. I can't remember the rest of it, but the idea is I am the possibility for everything else to appear. I am the possibility for everything else. And that, like, that's it. I am that possibility. That's what I am. Here he's calling it the continuity or the essence. But nothing could be here without the true I, without what I am, which is of course the same as what you are and is beyond the I am. See how words really, really get screwy? Potential, Ann was my partner. I'm going to tell on you, Ann. She was my partner. But like her words were exactly what I was experiencing, and I couldn't find the words to express it. Like I, and again, not Regina, not even the I am, before all of that, I am the potential for everything else. I am the light and the openness and the space and the screen. And without me, nothing could be, right? I am that potentiality. And that's really what Nisargadatta is saying here. He's using the word root, foundation, timeless and spaceless possibility, right? Right? This is what I experienced at that retreat. This is who I experienced myself as, or what I experienced myself as. Now, the questioner, after listening to this answer, asks, how do I get at it, right? How do I get at it? And he says, Nisargadatta says, you need not get at it, for you are it. It will get at you if you give it a chance. Let go your attachment to the unreal, and the real will swiftly and smoothly step into its own. Stop imagining yourself being or doing this or that, and the realization that you are the source and the heart of all will dawn upon you. With this will come great love, which is not choice or predilection. I don't know this word. I'll write it in because some of you guys are smarter than me. Predilection. Okay. How do you say that? Predilection? So if anybody knows the definition, feel free to type it in. If not, I'll look it up in a moment. Predilection. Is that it? Predilection? I'm okay with not being. That's it. Oh, okay. Never heard the word before in my life. But I'm glad I have smart friends. Okay, with this will come great love, which is not choice or predilection or attachment, but a power which makes all things love-worthy and lovable. So he says, you need not get at it, for you are it. That's interesting. Because, of course, that's not what it seems like when we're not in that position, right? Oh, thank you. Ken says, it's an established preference for something. So he says, stop imagining yourself being or doing this or that, and the realization that you are the source and heart of all will dawn upon you. With this will come great love, which is not choice or an established preference or attachment, right? But a power, the love is a power which makes all things love worthy and lovable. So again, he says in this answer, he says, you need not get at it, for you are it. It will get at you if you give it a chance. So the real question, I guess, becomes how do we give it a chance? How do you know? This reminds me of how A Course in Miracles says God will take the last step, right? Nisargadatta is saying it will get at you. Yeah? Here's another definition of predilection. A preference or special liking something, a bias in favor of something. Thank you. So he says, you need not get at it, for you are it. It will get at you as you give it, if you give it a chance. So the question becomes, again, how do we give it a chance? And he goes right on to tell us, let go your attachment to the unreal. Let go of your attachment to the unreal. And that reminds me very much of what we do in meditation. In meditation, at least what I do in meditation, I don't know what you do, I guess. But in meditation, it is a dedicated period of time where I am letting go of everything unreal. I'm not paying attention to it. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not working with it. I'm not accomplishing tasks. I'm not, you know, I am sitting down with my eyes closed and I am inquiring who or what am I, right? I use both. So whichever one happens to happen that day. And I'm looking and the only thing I'm interested in is that. When we were at this self-inquiry retreat and we were doing this for 3 days, in 3 days, I had one thought about my daughter. One thought, one sentence. In 3 days, I had one thought about my boyfriend. I didn't think at all about my job with Awakening Together, not even one thought. I didn't wonder if the radio was working or, you know, how the weekly gathering was going or anything. I didn't have any thought at all about that. The only thing that I did see thoughts arising were about the retreat house, and that's because we were at an environment that was very much like the retreat house, so it seemed to stimulate those thoughts. But there wasn't millions of them. It just came up every now and then. For the most part, I was totally, totally, totally focused on the self-inquiry. And I had no interest in anything else. And I had this experience. Again, you could say it didn't stick. It's not permanent. It wasn't permanent for me. I haven't experienced it again since I've been home. But I experienced it for at least a solid day and a half out of those 3 days. So by having no interest really in the world, by having only interest in self-inquiry, for a very brief period of time, if you think about it, 3 days, it got at me. And now, I just want to let it get at me again. My desire to take entire days, I've never had a desire to take an entire day and for an entire day do nothing but self-inquiry. I've heard Michael Langford recommend it, you know, take at least 1 day a week or 1 day a month where you do it for the whole day. And, you know, my thought was, to be honest, kind of like, yeah, well, you know, I doubt that will happen. Now it's what I want. Now I want to find a way to spend what I really want. I don't know if I can do it, but what I really want is I want to spend 4 days a month, 2 days, and then 2 weeks later, two more days. I feel like I might be able to fit that into my schedule. 4 days a month doing nothing but self-inquiry. Why am I suddenly motivated to this? Because I had a taste. And I know why I had the taste. Because I let go of my attachment to the unreal, and the real swiftly and smoothly stepped in on its own. Are you willing to elaborate on this at the retreat this week, Regina? Side note, I can try. Yeah, I can try. And I will tell you that at the fall retreat, we may be very focused in this way. I may give other people the opportunity to have this experience. We may be very focused on self-inquiry there. Because Jay had a direct experience that I know of. Jacqueline had a direct experience that I know of. I had a direct experience that I know of. We're the only three people I've talked to. That's three out of three. I don't know about Anne. I don't know about Carrie. You know, I just haven't had the chance to talk to them yet. But it's powerful to give that much attention without distraction. Okay, Anne had a direct experience. Four out of four people that I've talked to. All right, four out of four that I've talked to, right? But again, we're talking about forgetting everything else and being just focused on this for a period of time. Yeah. So stop imagining yourself being or doing this or that, and the realization that you are the source and the heart of all will dawn upon you, that you are the potentiality. And saying something about an extended direct experience, do you mean that you are still having it or that you had it there? I had an extended direct experience there, but now it is not occurring. Okay, there, yeah. So see what happens when you come back into the world? I think that's really what's going on. When you guessed, Anne, we came back into the world, our mind became back occupied with our family, with our things, and the experience disappeared, right? You can't have both. Right, we've heard this, you know, if you forget the world, you experience the self. But if you are focused on the world, you lose the self. And Cheryl's asking, why not? I'll answer that quickly, and then I think it's my time to go. But the answer is, the answer is because when you are experiencing the world, you are in the position of the experiencer. And the true self is not in that position. The true self is behind that. That's the answer. So you really can't have both. And that's it. We have finished the first message. So Ken, I know you're looking for a title. I will let go of the mic, pause for a second, and then type a title in. So that's it. Oh, and Cheryl's saying to be in the world, but not of it. You know, that could be definitely a description of the position of the true self that I experienced this weekend. Yeah. All the true self really experiences is, the word I would use is life. I experienced everything as life, just life everywhere. All right, letting go. Bye.